Turned our Bibles to the book of Esther this morning, and several Sundays ago we preached a message from the book of Jeremiah, and we talked about Jeremiah being a character in the scripture who displayed perseverance. And we're thinking of this thought of perseverance with our theme that we have for this year, the year of 2021, pressing on for the Lord. And I want us to look at the life of Esther and the story that's found in the book of Esther. We will not be able to obviously dive into this book in its entirety, but I want us to get to the chapter that Brother Terry read from, chapter number 4, to help us with the message that God has laid on my heart this morning here in Esther chapter number 4. And as you're finding and locating there Esther chapter number 4, we're going to read several of the verses there in Esther chapter 4 in just a moment. But I want to real quickly give you the background of this book that we find here in the Old Testament of our Bible. Esther was a young Jewish girl who lived in Babylon here in the Persian Empire. And her people, the Jews, had been carried away from their homeland of Judah to be slaves in Babylon. And some might ask, well, why would the Jewish people have to leave their homeland and become slaves in Babylon? Because they had turned away from God and they had began to worship idols. And as a result of their sin, God was punishing their sin. God punishes sin, doesn't he? He does not let us get away with our sin. We had a story we told this week in Bible time of a young man who had made a choice to disobey, and there were punishments for his choice that he had made. There were punishments for his disobedience. God promises blessings when we choose to obey, but the opposite of that, he promises punishment or consequences when we choose to disobey. And so the Jewish people were no different. Just because we say, well, those were God's chosen people, it doesn't make them any different or an exemption. And so because they had sinned and had turned away from God to worship idols, they had been carried away from their homeland. And they were now living as slaves in Babylon. Here's something unique about the book of Esther that we want to make sure that we understand before we get to Esther chapter number 4. Esther is the only book in the entire Bible that does not mention God's name. Some of you may have heard that said of Esther before. The only book in the entire Bible that doesn't mention God's name. So some have tried to take the book of Esther and assume that because of that statement that we just made, that the book of Esther does not belong in the Bible. But we certainly know contrary to that. God's name is not mentioned in the book, but can I say this? He's far from absent within this book. God's hand is all over this book. His hand is all over this story. As a matter of fact, one of the great truths that you see in the book of Esther, in the story that unfolds here in the life of Esther and her cousin Mordecai, we see God's sovereignty. God is in control, isn't he? And we see God caring for his people and providing for his people. And so in Esther chapter number 2, the Bible tells us that Esther is chosen to be queen. So she is queen there in the Persian Empire. And then the Bible tells us of a plot that takes place in chapter number 3. And so we're setting the background or the story for what we find here in chapter number 4. The second most powerful man in the kingdom, this man named Haman, has been exalted as the second most powerful man in the kingdom behind the king, King Ahasuerus, which was the king over the Persian Empire. And he is conspiring a plan to destroy the Jewish people. And there's a reason why he has conspired this plan, because he is a man that is full of pride. The Bible tells us that Esther's cousin Mordecai was standing at the king's gate, and when Haman passed by, because he had been promoted, because he had been made the second most powerful man in the Persian Empire, those that would watch Haman pass by would bow down in reverence to him. Mordecai, understanding that as a Jew serving the God who he served, that was a choice that he knew he should make. And so Mordecai would not bow down and reverence Haman as all the others that were in the Persian Empire would do that were at the king's gate. And so in Haman's pride, He began to conspire a plan to destroy the Jewish people. And that's where we pick up in chapter number 4 of the book of Esther. As a matter of fact, you can see from the very start of Esther chapter 4, the despair of the people. The Bible tells us that they are dressing a certain way, starting in verse number 1 of chapter number 4. Notice what the Bible says in Esther 4 verse 1. It says, when Mordecai perceived all that was done. Okay, so Esther has now become the queen in the Persian Empire. Haman has conspired this plot that on a certain day, all of the Jewish people are going to be destroyed. They're going to be put to death. They will be no more. And so when he hears about this plan that has been Haman has conspired, it says Mordecai rent his clothes and he put on sackcloth with ashes and went out into the midst of the city and cried with a loud and a bitter cry. This sackcloth would have been rough pieces of clothing that would make it difficult to wear. So they were putting aside the comforts, what they would typically wear to be able to put these sackcloth, this piece of sackcloth on and make it very difficult to wear it. And then the Bible tells us they put on sackcloth with ashes. They would spread these ashes across their body as a symbol or as a picture of distress, as a picture of grief, as a picture of a disaster that was coming. And that's exactly what was about to take place. The Jewish people about to be destroyed. And the Bible tells us that when Esther, who's in the palace now, she is the queen in the Persian Empire. And she has become the queen because King Ahasuerus in chapter number 1 has been holding a party. And he requests his wife, Queen Vashti, to come and present herself before the men that were gathered at this party. But she refused to do that. So because she refused to do that, she was no longer the queen. And now Esther has been promoted as the queen amongst all of the maidens that were gathered there. Esther was the one that was chosen. And so now Mordecai sitting outside of the gate in sackcloth and ashes and Esther inside the palace, she hears the condition of Mordecai. And the Bible tells us that she sends some clothing. She sends a change of clothing for him to change out of his sackcloth and for him to change out of his ashes and to clean his body up and to put on that new set of clothing that Esther had sent. But Mordecai refuses to put it on. Again, he is in great distress and he's in great grief, understanding that disaster is coming. And the king's servant, the Bible tells us, goes back and forth delivering messages several times from Esther to Mordecai. And then back to Esther in the palace and back to the king's gate where Mordecai is. And I want us to read some of those verses. I want us to pick up at verse number 5. And I want us to read several of the verses here in Esther chapter 4. And notice how this story begins to unfold. And then I want us to notice how that this Bible character, Esther, displayed perseverance as she helped to deliver her people from this destruction that was to come. Notice verse 5, it says, then called Esther for Hatak, one of the king's chamberlains, whom he had appointed to attend unto her or upon her, and gave him a commandment to Mordecai to know what it was and why it was. So she sends this servant to go find out why Mordecai's in sackcloth and ashes. The Bible says in verse 6, so Hatak went forth to Mordecai under the street of the city, which was before the king's gate. And Mordecai told him of all that had happened unto him, and of the sum of money that Haman had promised to pay to the king's treasury for the Jews to destroy them. Now, in order to understand exactly what Haman is doing as he's conspiring this plot, you would have to go back to chapter number 3. But Haman has declared already that I'll even give money to the king's treasury. A great sum of money will I take of my own money and give into the king's treasury. If we can have a promise, a decree that's made by the king that the Jewish people will be destroyed. And so Mordecai delivers that message to the servant. It says in verse number 8, also he gave him the copy of the writing of the decree that was given at Shushan to destroy them, to show it unto Esther and to declare it unto her, and to charge her that she should go in unto the king to make supplication unto him and to make request before him for her people. He says, all right, if you want more proof, I'll give you the decree that has already been written. There's a writing that's already been written. As a matter of fact, it's being published all throughout the Persian Empire here, that the Jewish people on a set date are going to be destroyed. I want you to show this to Esther. And I want you to ask Esther to go in unto the king and to plead for her people's life. And then notice what the Bible says in verse number 9. And Hatak came and told Esther the words of Mordecai. Again, Esther spake unto Hatak and gave him commandment unto Mordecai. Now notice what is said here in verse 11. All the king's servants and the people of the king's provinces do know that whosoever, whether man or woman, shall come into the king, into the inner court, who is not called, there is one law of his to put him to death, except such to whom the king shall hold out the golden scepter that he may live. But I have not been called to come in unto the king these 30 days. And they told Mordecai Esther's words. So what is Esther saying there? Esther's saying in verse number 11, the only way I can come and stand before the king is if he calls me in. The only other way that you could stand before the king is if you would present yourself before the king and just by chance he would hold out his golden scepter. If he does not hold out his golden scepter and you have not been called in to talk to the king, it's certain death because it's a law that the king has made. Esther says to the servant, tell Mordecai, I have not been called in to visit the king for 30 days now. There's been no command or call that's come from the king for me to come visit. And if I would go in and talk to him and not be called by the king, it's a law that I would be put to death. Notice what the Bible says in verse 13. Then Mordecai commanded to answer Esther, think not with thyself that thou shalt escape in the king's house more than all the Jews. For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. Now we're going to come back to these verses in just a moment. But notice what he says, but thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? Think about that question. Who knows, Esther, if God has not in his sovereignty, in his providence, put it so that you have been given this position as the queen in the Persian Empire for just this very moment, for such a time as this. Notice what the Bible says in verse number 15. Then Esther bade them return Mordecai this answer. Notice what Esther says. Go, gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan, and fast ye for me, neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day. I also and my maidens will fast likewise, and so will I go in unto the king, which is not according to the law. And then notice what Esther says at the end of verse number 16. And if I perish, I perish. You know, I think about every time I read that little statement there at the end of verse number 16, maybe it's just me, but for some odd reason, my mind immediately also goes to another story we read in the Old Testament. I think of those three Hebrew children that were told that if they did not bow down to the idol that the king had made, they would be cast into the fiery furnace. And remember, as they're standing before the king, now these are not the exact words that the Bible says, but they look at the king and they say, God's going to deliver us. But if he doesn't, if he chooses that we're going to burn in that fiery furnace and we're taken into eternity, we still will not bow. And that's in similitude to what Esther says here. She says, if I perish, I perish. But I want you to fast. I want you to spend some time seeking God on my behalf. And I'm going to go into the king. And I'm going to ask him for my people to be delivered. Notice what the Bible says in verse number 17. So Mordecai went his way and did according to all that Esther had commanded him. I want you to notice several things about this passage of Scripture and even the story of Esther today. Number one, I want us to notice in verse number 14, I want us to notice Esther's special mission. Number one, I want us to see Esther's special mission. Remember the question that Mordecai asked Esther at the very end of verse number 14? He said, and who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this. Now, we have to understand that Esther had a special mission that was given to her by God. God in his sovereignty, the fact that he was in control of everything that was working itself out in this story that we see in the book of Esther, we know that Esther had been given a special mission, a special purpose by God, and that's the very reason why she was the queen in the Persian Empire at that very moment. Now, by way of application today, let us understand that as Christians, we have been given a special mission, and we have been given a special purpose today as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. God has not put us here in the year of 2021 by accident. As a matter of fact, we could ask the same question of our lives that Mordecai asked of Esther in the passage of Scripture that we read here in Esther chapter 4 and verse number 14. Could it be perhaps that God has placed all of us in this time and in this day that we are living as remnants for Jesus Christ for such a time as this? God did not put us in any other time of history except for the one that he has put us in today. And could it be that we as Christians would look at God's special calling in our life, God's special mission for our life, God's special purpose for our life in the year of 2021, and God has us here for such a time as this, for us to fulfill his mission and for us to fulfill his purpose for our life the same way that Esther was used as an instrument for God's good and for God's glory in the Persian Empire, the story that we read of from many years ago here in the book of Esther. Esther had a special purpose and a plan that God had for her. She was to turn away the destruction which threatened her people. This is the explanation for her exaltation. She was exalted to be the queen of the Persian Empire for such a time as this, for this very moment. Can I say this about God's special mission and God's special purpose that he has for your life? Our response to whatever mission, for whatever purpose that God has for us, our response to God's purpose is to spiritually prepare ourselves for it every single day. So that at the very moment that God needs us, so that at the very moment that God calls upon us for his purpose and his mission and his task for our lives, we will be ready. You say, well, the only mission or the only purpose at my age that I feel like I could possibly get done for Christ is to be a prayer warrior. Well, then be the best prayer warrior that you can possibly be for the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, well, this is the job, this is the mission, this is the purpose that God has given me to fulfill for him. Prepare for it on a daily basis and do your very best to fulfill the very purpose and the very mission that God has for your life. God had a special mission and a purpose for the life of Esther for such a time as this. And God has put you here in 2021 for a special mission and for a special purpose that he has for your life. But I want us to notice number two. I want us to see Mordecai's serious reminder. Number one, Esther's special mission, but then I want us to see Mordecai's serious reminder. Mordecai gives a reminder to Esther. He lets Esther know God's going to deliver his people. Now, it sounds like Mordecai's got some confidence in his God, doesn't it? By the way, the same kind of confidence we ought to have in our God. Mordecai says to Esther, God will deliver his people. I've got a reminder for you, Esther. God's going to take care of those who are his own. Look with me, if you would, at verse number 13 in our Bibles. It says, then Mordecai commanded to answer Esther, think not with thyself that thou shalt escape in the king's house more than all the Jews. Here's what Mordecai is letting Esther know. You cannot escape just because you're in the king's house. Remember, Esther, you are a Jew just as well as I am. Just as well as all the others that are from the nation that have been told that on a certain date they're going to be destroyed. But then Mordecai lets her know. So don't think you're going to have some kind of special exemption just because you're in the king's palace. But he does give her a reminder. And notice what he says in verse number 14. For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. What is Mordecai saying to Esther? He's saying deliverance is certain with or without you. Now, God wants to use you, Esther. God in His sovereignty has a mission for you. God in His sovereignty has a purpose. He has a plan for your life. He wants to use you. But I want you to be reminded of the fact that God's going to deliver His people with or without you. God's capable of deliverance, isn't He? And then notice what He says in verse number 14. He says, but thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. He's letting her know that if you become so fearful, if you haven't put your trust and your confidence in the Lord, your fear could result in the destruction of your family, in the destruction of your own life. So at this point, Esther has a choice to make, doesn't she? Now, Esther has already presented to Mordecai the fact that the king has not called me in for 30 days. And the only way I can come and present myself to the king is if he invites me to come. The only other exemption to that would be if he would hold out his golden scepter, but certainly we don't know if that's going to happen. As I come into the presence of the king, and because of the king's law, my life can be taken away. So Esther has a choice to make. She can either put aside her fears, trust God and be used of Him, or God's going to deliver His people in another way. Can I say this? That if we refuse to obey the mission and the purpose that God has for us, He can lay us aside and use someone else. I would trust today as a Christian you would not say that that's your desire, that God would put you aside and use somebody else. And I say about our God, He's not obligated to use us, is He? As a matter of fact, we can be replaced at any time. We are just privileged to be able to be used by the Lord. We have a special privilege. We have a special blessing to be used by the Lord. He's not obligated to use us at all. And so when God is not permitted to rule our lives, He can certainly very easily overrule us, can He? As a matter of fact, we can find Bible illustrations of that. There's a man who was traveling on one of the missionary journeys that we can see in the life of Paul in the New Testament of our Bible. His name was John Mark, and he left the missionary journey. Well, God had somebody to take his place, didn't He? The Bible talks about a man named Timothy who stepped up, and he took his place, and he fulfilled the mission that John Mark was not doing. And then also we can get to the place where God can even discipline us until we surrender. Think of the story in the Old Testament of Jonah. How Jonah had to be disciplined until he was willing to be used of the Lord. And so Mordecai gives her a very serious reminder. Replace you, but either way He will deliver His people. But then I want us to notice number three this morning. We saw Esther's special mission. God has a special mission. God has a special purpose for our life. We've seen the serious reminder that Mordecai gives to Esther. But then I want you to notice number three. I want us to notice Esther's bold resolve. Esther resolves. She makes a choice. I'm going to go in and I'm going to stand before the king. Notice what the Bible says, and we'll read it again in verse number 15. It says, then Esther bade them return Mordecai this answer. It says, go gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan, and fast ye for me, and neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day. I also and my maidens will fast likewise, and so will I go in unto the king, which is not according to the law. She's ready to press on, isn't she? She's ready to persevere. She's ready to press on with the task that God has given to her. You know, I think we notice in this passage of Scripture that we should never press on with the purpose and mission that God has for our lives without God's favor upon us. Esther prepares for the task that God has for her. Notice she's asked Mordecai, I want you to go and I want you to gather all the people together. And I want you to be fasting. Myself and all my maidens are going to gather together and we're going to fast as well. Can I say that you should never approach the task that God has given to you without proper preparation? Without God's favor being upon the task that He has given to you, no matter how big or no matter how small that task is, no matter how short or no matter how lengthy the task is. So I think we notice in this passage some things that are revealed about Esther, and I want us to notice this today. I think number one, some things are revealed about Esther's faith. Number one, I think some things are revealed about Esther's faith. Number one, we see Esther's faith in the fact that she was seeking God before she performed the task. Esther was saying to Mordecai, she's saying, I'm going to need God's help with this. I'm trusting Him to help me. I need Him to go before me. By way of application today, would it be said of you that your faith in God is revealed when you seek Him before you fulfill the task that He's given to you to do? Teachers, would you ask for God's power before you go teach your Sunday school lesson? Would it be said of us that we seek God and His favor upon whatever He has given for us to do before we go and fulfill the task and the responsibility that He has called upon us to fulfill? I think number one, we see her faith in the fact that she was seeking God before she fulfilled the task. But then number two, I think we can see Esther's faith in the fact that she was had character in front of the maidens who was there with her in the palace. Notice what's said of these maidens here in verse number 15. Notice the middle of the verse there. It says, I also and my maidens will fast likewise. Now this would have been a huge step for those maidens to make because they belong to a pagan court. So what that shows you and me as we read through verse number 15 is that Esther had had such a strong influence on them that they were willing to fast with her. So not only do we see her faith in the fact that she's seeking God before she fulfilled the task, but we also see her faith that was on display before her maidens who were now fasting with her. Can I ask you by way of application in your life, is your faith on display before others that are in this world? Think of these maidens that are in this pagan court, and yet Esther's influence was so strong in their lives, that they are now fasting with her. The third thing I think that we see about Esther's faith, we see Esther's faith giving her strength to perform her duty. Isn't that true of our faith today? Our faith gives us the strength to perform our duty that God has given to us. Let's put our trust and let's put our confidence in Him so that we can perform the duty, the task that He has given to us. So number one, I think we see some truths about Esther's faith, but then I think we see something else about Esther. I think we also see some truths about Esther's desires. Number one, I want us to notice that we see Esther's desire for others to interest themselves on her behalf. What did the Bible tell us that she asked Mordecai to do? Notice in verse number 16, if you would, at the very beginning of the verse, it says, go gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan and fast ye for me. She's asking Mordecai and all the other Jews that are gathered there in Shushan in the Persian Empire to have interest on her behalf, to interest themselves on her behalf. We would call this kind of a prayer, this kind of seeking of the Lord, we would call it intercession, wouldn't we? When we would ask somebody to intercede on our behalf, as a matter of fact, we do that on a daily basis with our missionaries, don't we? Missionaries that are away serving the Lord on a foreign field, but yet they have the confidence knowing that back home, not only do they have a church that is financially giving to them, but they also have someone who is praying for them on their behalf. Have you ever had somebody that's asked you to intercede on their behalf because of a sickness that they had, or maybe perhaps a spiritual need that they had? This is Esther's desire. Esther says, I want you to interest yourself on my behalf. But notice it doesn't stop there. I think we see something else about Esther's desire. Esther also desired to perform her own part as well. She didn't ask somebody to do something for her that she was not willing to do herself. Did you notice that in the chapter? Notice the second part of this verse. She said to Mordecai, gather together all the Jews And I want you to fast and then look at the next part. I also and my maidens will fast likewise. We see Esther's desire to perform her own part. Now, the prayer of others, I think we would all acknowledge this, the prayer of others are certainly helps and encouragements, but they are never a substitute for our own, are they? And they also are not a way for us to say, well, my prayer to God is unnecessary because somebody is praying for me on my behalf. We may ask somebody to intercede for us, but also it's important for us to spend time with God as well. Don't solely rely upon others. We can use a Bible illustration for that when Jesus was before his death in the Garden of Gethsemane. And remember, he took some disciples with him, didn't he? And what did he ask those disciples to do? He asked them to watch and pray. And remember, Jesus went a little bit further into the garden and he started praying, and he was praying so earnestly that sweat drops of blood were coming from his brow. Jesus got up from that moment of prayer when he was praying to the Heavenly Father himself, but he had also asked others to intercede on his behalf. And when he came back, what did he define the disciples doing? He found them sleeping, didn't he? And so don't rely solely upon others, but instead invest in your part as well. And I think we see that in the desires of Esther. But then I want us to notice some things that I believe Esther reveals to us when she seeks God. Notice some truths as she seeks God. I want you to notice in verse number 13 that her people are under a crushing load. The Bible says in verse number 13, it says, "Then Mordecai commanded to answer Esther, 'Think not with thyself that thou shalt escape in the king's house more than all the Jews. We are under a crushing load. Impending danger is upon us, not only because of the threat on our nation, but even our own kindred, even our own personal lives,' Mordecai says to her. They're facing a wicked foe that we have talked about in Haman. We face a wicked foe today as well, don't we? The devil. And then not only are they facing a wicked foe, but they're facing a decree of destruction that's irrevocable. In our lives as sinners, we face the punishment of spiritual death and separation from God for all of eternity as a result of our sin. And on top of all that, there's no visible way of escape. And for the sinner, there's no visible way of escape on our own. But isn't it true that we can be like the publican? Just as Esther was seeking God on her behalf and others were seeking God for her, we can be like the publican who called out and he said, "Be merciful unto me, a sinner." And God is going to hear and God is going to answer as we seek him. So she's facing, as she seeks God, she's facing a very crushing load. And the only one that had power to help her was the king. "I've got to go before the king." Now the king has to hold out his golden scepter. "I've made a choice. I'm going to go in and I'm going to talk to the king." He's got to hold out his golden scepter, which means I'm powerless to help myself. Isn't that true for us as Christians today? Isn't it true before we came to know Jesus as our Savior, we were powerless to help ourselves? As a matter of fact, in verse number 13, Mordecai even said, "Don't think that you are going to be able to escape." It's as if Mordecai is saying, there's no escape here. We're powerless to help ourselves. We've gotten to the place where because we're sinners, we're hopeless without the king's intervention. But aren't you thankful we had a Savior who loved us enough to intervene for us? And he died for us. Nothing that we can do to help ourselves. We were powerless. We were hopeless. But then King Jesus came along, didn't he? And he gave his life for us so that we could have hope of eternal life. He is our refuge, isn't he? When we get to the place in life where we feel powerless, where we feel hopeless, he is our strength and he is our help. And then can I say one more thing as Esther seeks the Lord? The request that she is going to give to the king, as she presents this request to the king, everything is at stake with this one request. As a matter of fact, we know that everything is at stake because at the end of verse number 16, Esther makes these words. I'm going to go in, she says to the king, which is not according to the law. And if I perish, Esther says, I perish. It was very difficult. It was very dangerous what she was about to do. Think about all the things that were going against her. The king's law that nobody was able to come in unless he held out his scepter. Think about the king's temper that we've already read about from the very beginning of the book of Esther when he replaced his queen, Queen Vashti, with now the new queen of the Persian Empire, Esther. And then think about Haman's influence on the life of the king. And then perhaps Esther would not even be able to get through the royal guards to even be able to see the king to have a chance to talk to him. But aren't you thankful that even though everything was at stake, when we cried out to Jesus, our spiritual life was at stake, our eternity was at stake, and when we cried out to Jesus for mercy and grace, he was there to answer, wasn't he? He was there to meet our need. What an application today. When we cry out to Jesus, he is there to extend mercy and to extend grace to us. So I want us to notice Esther's special mission and Mordecai's serious reminder and then her bold resolve. And then I want us to notice the final victory. Notice what the Bible says in verse number 17. It says, so Mordecai went his way and did according to all that Esther had commanded him. Esther tells him, I want you to go and I want you to fast. I want you to spend 3 days and three nights fasting and seeking God on my behalf. And myself and the maidens are going to seek God and we're going to fast for 3 days. And then I'm going to go into the king. If I perish, I perish. But we see the final victory that Esther is able to see. Notice what the Bible says in the very next chapter. We'll read just the first two verses as we draw this to a close. It says, now it came to pass on the third day that Esther put on her royal apparel and stood in the inner court of the king's house over against the king's house. And the king sat upon his royal throne in the royal house over against the gate of the house. And again, mind you, he had not invited her to come in. And notice what the Bible says in verse number 2. And it was so when the king saw Esther the queen standing in the court that she obtained favor in his sight. And the king held out to Esther the golden scepter that was in his hand. So Esther drew near and touched the top of the scepter, and we'll stop there for sake of time, but I want us to notice that as we would go through the end of the book of Esther, and if you'll take time to read it later, maybe even if you've already read through it, you already know the end result of this book, the great and glorious story that's found here in the book of Esther, that God saved her people, didn't he? There was great victory, and God did it in his perfect way, in his perfect plan that he had. Can I say this as we draw this message to an end? When God gives you a task, he has a special mission. He has a special purpose for your life. We're wise to see that task, aren't we? And we're wise to fulfill that task, to see it done and see it completed. That's where we're preaching about perseverance and pressing on and getting to the finish line. And as we see and fulfill the special purpose and the special plan and the special task that God has for us, we can humbly expect God to do something great, can't we? We can humbly expect that God's going to accomplish blessed results in our life. And here's what's really sobering. Here's what's really humbling, is that God would be willing to take a feeble instrument like you and like me, and get his task done through us. Think about this feeble human instrument, Esther. Think about the feeble human instrument that God uses in you and I today. And yet humbly, we're able to see God work his plan in his timing and in his way. Let's notice Esther's special mission. Let's notice the serious reminder that God will deliver his people. He wants to use you, but he doesn't have to use you. He can replace you with somebody else. Let it not be said that God sets us on the shelf to replace us with somebody else. Let's find out God's task and with bold resolve say, God, I'm going to complete it to the finish line. As Esther boldly said, if I perish, I perish. But I'm going to seek God about it first. I'm going to ask others to seek God on my behalf as well. And I'm going to stand before the king. And when all is said and done, I'm going to get to see God's final victory when he used this humble, feeble instrument to get his task done. I was able to do it for God's good and for God's glory. Father, I thank you today for the story of Esther. I thank you, Lord, for her bold resolve, where she